Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, found on your book stand in the form of a photographed packet of black and white shlokas. This is prayers by Queen Kunti, and the text is number 40. Ime, all these. Janapada, cities and towns. Janapada means, doesn't it mean that where people walk around? Like pada. Jana. The word, Janapada.
I don't know. Jana certainly means the people, the
pada. Yeah. Janapada. Cities and towns. Sridha. Flourished. Supakva.
Supakva.
Mature.
Nature.
Excuse, what?
Nature. You got a misprint?
You have a misprint.
Oh. Nature? What's nurture?
It says mature here.
Mature?
Supakva. Pakva means mature. Somehow, you got the wrong information. Ashaudi. Herbs. Virudaha. Vegetables. Vana. Forests. Adri. Hills. Nadi. Rivers. Udanvantaha. Seas. He. Certainly. Idante. Increasing. Tava. By you. Vikshitai. Seen. Ime janapada sridha. Supakvaushadi virudaha.
Supakvaushadi virudaha.
Vanadri nadyudanvanto.
Vanadri nadyudanvanto.
Hidante tava vikshitai.
Hidante tava vikshitai.
Ime janapada sridha.
Ime janapada sridha.
Supakvaushadi virudaha.
Supakvaushadi virudaha.
Vanadri nadyudanvanto.
Vanadri nadyudanvanto.
Hidante tava vikshitai.
Hidante tava vikshitai.
Ime janapada sridha.
Supakvaushadi virudaha.
Vanadri nadyudanvanto. Hidante tava vikshitai.
Ime janapada sridha.
Ime janapada sridha.
Supakvaushadi virudaha.
Supakvaushadi virudaha.
Manadri nadyudanvanto.
Manadri nadyudanvanto.
Hidante tava vikshitai.
Hidante tava vikshitai.
Ime
janapada sridha. Supakvaushadi virudaha.
Vanadri
nadyudanvanto.
Hidante
tava vikshitai. Ime janapada sridha. Supakvaushadi virudaha. Vanadri nadyudanvanto. Hidante tava vikshitai. Translation. All these cities and villages are flourishing in all respects because the herbs and grains are in abundance. The trees are full of fruits. The rivers are flowing. The hills are full of minerals. And the oceans full of wealth. And all this is due to your glancing over them. Purport. Human prosperity flourishes by natural gifts and not by gigantic industrial enterprises. The gigantic industrial enterprises are products of a godless civilization, and they cause the destruction of the noble aims of human life. The more we go on increasing such troublesome industries to squeeze out the vital energy of the human being, the more there will be unrest and dissatisfaction of the people in general, although a few only can live lavishly by exploitation. The natural gifts such as grains and vegetables, fruits, rivers, if you need to, there's the middle unit's open. If you need to go back there, you can go back into the middle unit if the child becomes too. The natural gifts such as grains and vegetables, fruits, rivers, the hills of jewels and minerals, and the seas full of pearls are supplied by the order of the Supreme. And as he desires, material nature produces them in abundance or restricts them at times. The natural law is that the human being may take advantage of these godly gifts by nature and satisfactorily flourish on them without being captivated by the exploitive motive of lording it over material nature. The more we attempt to exploit material nature according to our whims of enjoyment, the more we shall become entrapped by the reaction of such exploitative attempts. If we have sufficient grains, fruits, vegetables, and herbs, then what is the necessity of running a slaughterhouse and killing poor animals? A man need not kill an animal if he has sufficient grains and vegetables to eat. The flow of river waters fertilizes the fields, and there is more than what we need. Minerals are produced in the hills and the jewels in the ocean. If the human civilization has sufficient grains, minerals, jewels, water, milk, etc., then why should it hanker after terrible industrial enterprises at the cost of the labor of some unfortunate men? But all these natural gifts are dependent on the mercy of the Lord. What we need, therefore, is to be obedient to the laws of the Lord and achieve the perfection of human life by devotional service. The indications by Kunti Devi are just to the point. She desires that God's mercy be bestowed upon them so that natural prosperity be maintained by His grace. Vande hum Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Barshabana Videvi Dayataya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadya Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dhinatharine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambode Padambujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupa Nugavarayate Gaura Virbaba Bome Stram Nirdesa Sajana Priya Vaishnava Sarva Boma Sri Jagannathayate Namaha Jakalpatrubhyasya kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha namo mahavaranyaya krishna prema pradayate krishnaya krishna chaitanya namne gaura tvise namaha panchatattvatmakam krishnam bhakta rupa sarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Rakanta Namostute Jayatam Surato Pangor Mama Mandamater Gati Matsarva Swapadam Bojo Radha Manana Mohano Divya Vrindaranya Kalpa Drumadha Srimad Radnaghara Singhasanasto Srimad Radha Shila Govinda Devo Prishtali Bi Sevya Manusmarami Sriman Rasa Rasarambi Vamshi Vata Tatastita Karshan Venu Sanir Gopir Gopinatha Sriestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindai Tulsi Devai Priyai Keshavasyacha Vishnu Bhakti Pradi Devi Sachavachai Namo Namaha Sri Nishringa Jai Nishringa Jai Jai Nishringa Pralada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasani Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama
Rama Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare Ime Jana Parasurdha Supakwau Shadiviridaha Vanadri Nadyudanvanto Hedante Tavavikshitahai. All these cities and villages are flourishing in all respects because the herbs and grains are in abundance. The trees are full of fruits. The rivers are flowing. The hills are full of minerals and the oceans full of wealth. And this is all due to your glancing over them. The Prabhupada used to tell us that if you have many, a long string of zeros, it's just zero, no matter how long the string is. But if you put a one in front of the string of zeros, then it becomes a very large number. So he always told us Americans that you have a long string of zeros because you make so much effort and you've made so much material advancement, but it really doesn't mean anything because you don't have Krishna. And he taught us that. He taught us that if you put Krishna in the center, then you become happy, and your life becomes successful and auspicious, and you can feel it, and the devotees felt it. And once you've had that, once you've felt that, then anywhere you go where Krishna's not in the center, even if you try to forget, and you try to go somewhere that's beautiful or nice or materially opulent or advanced technologically, and you try to enjoy, you won't be able to. Because there's something missing. And it's like you'll be disturbed all the time. There was a story about the princess and the pea. And she had a mattress. She was so delicate, this princess, that she was... If there was a little pea under her mattress, even though they piled up a bunch of mattresses, right? Like seven mattresses or something. There was one little pea underneath at the very bottom. But the idea was she was so delicate that sleeping on that she just couldn't get it. Because she was. So material life is like that. And no matter where you go, you could pile up the mattresses, but that one little pea is there to disturb you the whole time. I was visiting some relatives in New York. I went to New York for the Gita Jayanti. And afterwards, I took the ferry over to Weehawken in New Jersey, the Weehawken Ferry. And I went across the Hudson River, and they picked me up, and I went to the home of Nirkula's sister, one of her younger sisters, who's married and has two children. And one of the children is sick, and so I went there to see them, talk to them, and everything like that. Anyway, it was around Christmas time, and the house was full of trees and Christmas presents and all kinds of stuff going on. And because the one child is sick, they had been lavishing gifts on him. And so then I was playing with the kids, who are what, I don't know, one's like 6 and the other one's 10 or something like that. And we were playing in the living room, and there are all these toys all over the place. Television's going, toys everywhere. And then the little girl, who I know well, came, sat next to me on the couch, and she looked at me, and she goes, "I'm bored." And I thought, perfect, there it is. You got everything you could possibly want. Star Wars toys, they had a little R2-D2 robot that you could talk to, and he would do whatever you say. And for me, that got boring in about 2 seconds. I was like, oh no, do I have to sit here for this? You know, and for them, it took about 5 minutes. But I could see all these things and no happiness and bored, you know. And then I started interacting with her and you know, playing games and things like that. And immediately there was some, you know, at least some consciousness to the whole thing. But matter doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter unless we're there to give it life. We're the ones who give it life. We're the ones that look at it and shape it, actually. Our whole reality is shaped by our consciousness and how we look at things and how we interact with them. They come to life because of us. And similarly, the whole universe, everything, the whole creation, it comes to life because of Krishna's glance. It's all coming from Krishna. And so the great art of life is to have Krishna in the center. And what's happened now in the world is we've become over-sophisticated. And we've talked ourselves out of Krishna. We've talked ourselves out of God. For instance, in the area of nutrition, it used to be you just go to the field and you get some carrots and you get some celery and you get some grains and some milk from the cow and you have a perfectly balanced diet. Now, the scientists, since about the 40s, they started studying nutrition and they started figuring out, like, what's a beta carotene? I mean, it's in the carrot. If you just eat it and get on with your life, you're going to be fine. You're going to have a beta carotene. But we have to analyze now, what is beta carotene? It's in the carrot. And maybe if we separate the beta carotene from the carrot and put it in a pill, then you don't have to eat a carrot. You just eat the pill. But lo and behold, it doesn't do the same thing. Krishna has packaged it perfectly. The carrot has all the roughage. It has the perfect balance. And if you eat, you know, beans and rice together, they come together as a perfect protein. And it's been passed down for generations. You get an idli or a dosa. And what is the problem? It's got rice, it's got dal, and you're perfectly healthy. And a few green things. But now we have to extract everything out of everything else and put it into a little pill. And we've over sophisticated the whole process, so we become overly intelligent. And now when you go into a supermarket, most of the whole supermarket is full of everything packaged. And what have they done, packaged the food? They've taken something that's whole in itself, and they've smashed it, they've smushed it, they've mixed it, they've grinded it, they've irradiated it, they've added things to it, and then it comes in this sterile package. Why? Just to make money and to present something that you go to the airport. I had to go to Los Angeles last weekend, and I was there in the Los Angeles airport. I was walking around looking at a few things in the gift shop. Everything packaged on the shelf, and, you know, in bags, practically lifeless food. It's a food-like substance. It's not actually food that we eat anymore, right? Anything that's in a package has become a food-like substance because it's been mashed, smushed, added, subtracted, turned upside down, and it's got some weird vibration to it that, you know, you eat it. And you look at people nowadays, what people are eating, everyone knows in America that, you know, people are becoming unhealthy because of their diet. So this is a product of a civilization where we've forgotten about God and we've forgotten about Krishna. On the other hand, for personal experience, I know, and all of you have experienced for yourselves, how when you have simple things, you become happy. And this is an old example, but you know, we'll offer Tushta, because it's so ridiculous because he's such a renowned soul. But let's say we offer Tushta, a palace. And you can't come because this is part of the example. We give Tushta a palace, and we give him everything he wants in the whole palace. Or not, he doesn't want anything. That's why I said it's ridiculous. So, but anyway, let's say he wanted stuff. So we gave him cars, we gave him a house, we gave him HDTV, we gave him what else did we give him? Washing machines, dryers, the nicest furniture in the world. We go to the best designers in the world. Everything in the house. There's only one stipulation that he can't. There's no other living entities there. No other living thing in the house. HTVD, is that living?
No.
It's not living. Okay, it's dead. Okay, so you get everything. He can have everything, but nothing alive. That's all. That's the only stipulation. So then, how long will he become happy? How long will he remain happy for with all his nice things? Not very long. It'll become a stale, bored. In fact, you know, without others, without interaction with other people, and without other living entities, we immediately become morose. And Satyadeva Prabhu used to tell me the most alarming thing, that when he was doing his paramedic work in San Francisco, old people used to call 911. And it was because they were separated from their families, they were shut-ins, which means that they're too old to go out, they're afraid to go outside because they might trip, fall, and the whole world becomes intimidating, and they stay inside their apartment day after day after day, watching television or doing whatever they do, and maybe somebody brings them a meal or something like that. That's it. They would become so lonely that they could not stand it 1 minute more. They were dying of loneliness. And so they would dial 911 emergency, and they have the paramedic. And lucky if they had Satyadeva come over. What a nice thing. And he'd come in, he'd make them a cup of tea, and he'd sit down with them for a half hour, 45 minutes, and soothe their soul because they were dying of loneliness. Because this is what we want. We want Krishna, and we want interaction. We want life. And we know this, but now we've been convinced by modern society and this advertising campaign that's going on everywhere. It's gotten out of hand because it's Kali. Kali is propagating this. It's gotten into he's meddling with everything and people's consciousness. And now there's a systematic propaganda that you'll be happy if you just have these material things. Yeah, they underwrite everything. Even if you listen to public radio, it's underwritten by IKEA. You know, it's coming to get some furniture. The corporations are becoming huge, and consumer society is taking over everything nowadays. After 9/11, it's this big emergency, right? And the whole world's in anxiety. Americans, particular, in anxiety. The leader of the free world comes on to tell us how to relieve our anxiety and how to get things going again. And what did he say?
Shopping.
Go shopping. He said, go and shop. That's exactly what he said. He said, everyone go out and shop. And that's what everyone does nowadays. In fact, the whole progress of our whole society is based around how much people are shopping. If people aren't shopping enough, it comes up to Christmas time, and month before Christmas, everything rests on how much people are going to buy. And look at the junk. I'm walking around my neighborhood. Yesterday it was all in the streets because of the wind. They put the recycles out from Christmas. There's all this packaging for one little tiny thing. You got to package so many things. And it just adds to the complication. There's no happiness in that. So the solution Kunti is telling us here is to bring Krishna. Be in the association of Krishna. Hear Krishna's name. And then even the simplest things become so relishable. I was doing my puja the other day, and in the morning time I do a puja. I sit down. It's time I can center all my life affairs, and although there are many things swirling around, everyone has duties to do and bills to pay and so many anxieties, right? So my puja forces me to sit down with my deities and go through this ritual. Where I chant my mantra, and I see the deity, and I do the whole thing, and I pick them up, and I massage them with oils, and I start feeling happy all of a sudden. No matter what's happening, I pick up my little deity, and I'm putting oil on him, and the oil smells good, and I put him back in the dish, and he's smiling at me, and it's like, okay, and I ring the bell, and I pour, the water on him, and everything like that, and I go, now I feel happy. you know, there's some happiness in my life. And I bring them a little, you know, I make them a little plate of food and stuff like that. And then I can feel it, the reciprocation. And the other day, I had this aesthetic experience where I had a basket full of tulsi leaves and a little, I make this chandan, you know, I have this big block of sandalwood. And I make this chandan mixed with camphor, not this time of year, just saffron. But something in the summer I put camphor in. And then so it's kind of reddish sandalwood. So a little dish of sandalwood and then a basket full of tulsi leaves. And I put the sandalwood dish inside the basket of tulsi leaves because I stand up when after I do the puja and I put little tulsi chandan on all the little deities, right? And I looked in the basket and I saw the tulsi and I saw the chandan together and it just hit me as such a thing of beauty. Just intrinsically beautiful. Tulsi is the most beautiful flower in the whole creation. And just by associating with those leaves and flowers, you attain all perfection. Just like Praveena was saying, if you chant in front of Tulsi, then you feel by her association, you'll begin to feel inspired to chant Hare Krishna. So I looked in the basket and I saw the chandan and the tulsi together and it looked like the most inspiring still life I've ever seen. And it just transfixed me for a second, and I felt complete satisfaction. Just looking at the little dish of tulsi and chandan, the tulsi and chandan sitting there, I went, this is nice. And so this is what Krishna consciousness is. It just feels nice. And, you know, those who feel this, they don't need other things in the world. The fact that, you know, they become superfluous. All the extra things, that they're not that important anymore. We can use all these things in Krishna service. And through Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and our Srila Prabhupada taught us that, you know, everything that you have, use it in Krishna service. But if we forget that principle, and Krishna's glance isn't there, if he isn't blessing it, if our house isn't blessed because Krishna is the center of the house, then it becomes anxiety-filled. If the society isn't blessed by Krishna's glance, if people aren't hearing about Krishna, experiencing the art and the culture that's related to Ramchandra, you know, the great hero, then they find heroes somewhere else. They worship Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they think, oh, he's so great. But they won't find any satisfaction. They'll let him down. All the heroes in the material world, they let us down. But Krishna, he's Arukram, he's the great actor. People need this. They need their souls filled with the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna, and they need to see his devotees dedicated, going here and there, trying to help people, giving them prasadam and passing on the literatures that have been passed down from the great sages. Everyone needs this to feel whole, to feel satisfied. And we know this when we go on Sankirtan. We're out there and we're giving prasadam and books, and people who are, they do a double take. They come over and say, what are you doing? This is incredible. This is wonderful. This is nice. In fact, we have on film, Bhakti George and Gokul Hari are making this epic film about the Sankirtan party here. And they filmed this, they interviewed this one gentleman sitting on a bench at the Harinam party in Palo Alto. And he's sitting on the bench. They said, so what do you think of this, sir? And he goes, this is incredible. This is amazing. Why didn't people think of this before? I mean, he's going on and on because it's something so special. And and anybody can feel it. A two-year-old can feel it. We saw that two-year-old girl at the Harinam the last time we were there. She just started dancing and dancing. For half an hour she was dancing. So this is what the soul needs. The soul needs Krishna. And without Krishna, we're a fish out of water. We can get anything we want, but it won't be satisfying. On the other hand, if you live as a simple person, in fact, Brahmacharis said you can have everything you can carry is just you keep in a little bag that you can hang on a peg. That's all your possessions. Hang it on a peg. And you don't need anything else because what do you have? You have your seva and you have your japa and you have association with devotees. And that is everything. Everything beyond that is just extra energy to manage. And according to our karma, we have all kinds of energies to manage. But to the degree that we add Krishna to that, to that degree we'll become happy. And to the degree we forget Krishna and he's out of the equation, we won't be happy. So it's a simple equation. chant Hare Krishna sincerely and cry out to Krishna for his association, his presence. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, because Krishna is definitely present in both of those literatures, and will be in his presence by hearing them, and associate and serve devotees and go back to Godhead. And forego all the complications of the material world, because that's what they are. They're complications to the soul. Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna. Yes.
My brother.
Could you use the microphone so the devotees in the back could hear?
My brother calls us hypocrites because he says that we criticize the industrial revolution or the enterprises, but at the same time we are using them. So even I feel that, I might be exploiting Mother Nature. In a sense, I don't want to, but my circumstances are, I work for an industry, I drive back home every day, and even for coming to the temple, I need a car. So, in other words, I'm encouraging the so-called industrial enterprises, but at the same time, we don't want to support it. So, so what is our stand? Like, what should we say?
Well, our stand is really that we should live a simple life ourselves. In fact, Prabhupada encouraged us to do that. He encouraged us for high thinking and natural living. And in fact, he wanted us to develop communities where devotees could live closer to the land. And he wanted that to take off. And it hasn't, for one reason or another. He wanted us to have cow protection and different places where devotees could go and retreat and actually live a simpler life. At the same time, of course, we have a preaching mission where we live in the cities and we utilize everything, and that was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's influence. That, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, vivikti sevitvam, that you should live in a secluded place. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, pursuant to Prahlad Maharaj's mood, was move to the city, go to the most crowded place, and utilize everything for Krishna's service. He brought this out, this whole mood out, that in fact the sadhus that were living in Radhakund at the time, they wouldn't wear shoes, they eschewed anything that had to do anything with modern technology. And to show them actually this principle of Yukta Vairagya, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta showed up in Radhakund with his disciples riding in a car, wearing shoes in suits. And this was his mood, that Krishna consciousness should be broadcast everywhere, using everything. This is the principle of Yukta Vairagya, that everything belongs to Krishna. So there's this idea put forth in the Srimad Bhagavatam of taking a thorn out with a thorn. So if you have a thorn in your side, then how do you take it out? You use another thorn, and you take it out with that. So similarly, we should be very careful not to become over-implicated in, the materialistic civilization and complicate our lives. We should see that we're using things for Krishna's service that we have. And I think that if we do that sincerely, and we utilize what we have for the benefit of others, that people will see how we're using it. They'll see our example. We can preach so many things, especially if you try to preach to your family. They'll go, yeah, sure. They look at what you do rather than what you say. They look at who you're becoming. They see your heart. They see your steadiness amidst all kinds of circumstances, when people die, when you're up and when you're down, and what the effect of the holy name is. So we should be a good example, and don't become victimized by modern technology, especially television. We can become victimized by television and all kinds of other things very easily, because it's all around us. So we should utilize technology to the degree that we're using it to help others, and then I think that people will see what our intention is. You were going to say something, Carlos?
Oh yeah, Vaishya, I was reading in the Bhagavatam that Krishna knows that we have to do things in this world, and we all have our prescribed duty in the four different caste systems. And that if we do curtail what our prescribed duty is for the satisfaction of Vishnu, that even though we are doing material activities, they actually become transcendental when we add Krishna into it. So everything's for the satisfaction of Yajna, right? Because the Lord is the supreme enjoyer. And to do our prescribed duty, drive home from work, as long as we have Krishna with us, you know, we think about him, remember him, do things for his satisfaction, then he will take away the karmic reactions of our activities in our daily lives. Is that true, Vaish?
Yes, that's true. So you want to add to this? This idea of, because I've heard you talk about this before, about Yukta Vairagya, the idea of, you know, we're using technological things, and even sometimes, you know, we use medicine if there's an emergency. Do you want to say something?
I pretty much covered it, but...
Pass him the mic.
Yeah, I think, you know, essentially what you've said is it comes down to consciousness and action. And if we're conscious of Krishna and we're utilizing everything with respect to him, just like Srila Prabhupada, he, you know, if anything touched any object touched the ground, he would touch the object to his head because he was conscious of the fact that everything belonged to Krishna and that whatever he had to utilize it properly in that respect. And so, you know, we've got ourselves into this muck. you know, ever since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, now it's the information, you know, revolution. And what we need to do is show the example of how to live consciously in every aspect of our life. And I think that should be our message when we're preaching, because a lot of people don't understand Krishna, you know, or don't understand. They may understand God. If we use the word God, then everything comes from God. And we should learn, you know, we should be living consciously with all resources. And we point out the fact that the reason that, you know, we're in the trouble we're in our civilization is because we utilize resources unconsciously just for our own limited satisfaction without understanding how exploitation affects the whole. You know, reflects all living, you know, all other living entities. So, you know, through our action, and then we have to preach this message in a way that other people can understand it today, in their terminology, in their words, with examples. It's basically the same thing. Nothing has changed. You know, without Krishna, everything is zero. And as long as we're conscious of Krishna, but even devotees, we, you know, we see that there's devotees and then there's devotees, meaning that we can go through the maneuvers of Krishna consciousness in an unconscious way. You know, we may look like devotees wearing tilak and whatnot, but in our actions and in our words, we're acting just like any other materialistic person. So that's just a symptom of our consciousness. So we should live consciously every moment, consciously that our every thought, our every feeling, our every action, there's a reaction, there's a consequence. And that our consciousness, when it's fixed on God, when we're acting for him, then that's perfect. And that's supremely conscious.
I think it's a really good time these days to preach, because people are, especially in this vein, because people are becoming more aware of the fact that we've befouled the whole planet through overzealousness and materialistic advancement. Every other article nowadays is about global warming and the effects of that. In fact, I just read an article recently about a musician who's become very popular, and she, over the years, has developed a following. And instead of having her a record label produce her records, she started her own label, and then she started selling her music from the internet download, but she just says, you know, give whatever you want. There's no price on it. And she said, I'm not doing that because, you know, as a technique to make more money or something like that, even though people give more than they would have for a regular album. But she said in the article that, she said, if you do have an exploitative consciousness, and I was trying to exploit people by some kind of maneuver, she said, there's a balancing reaction. I thought that was good. There's always a balancing reaction in nature. So if, and mostly it comes from our penchant due to contact with material nature to exploit. The more we give and the more we have the mentality of service to others, then the more we're free and the more we're happy, actually. And this is the great secret of life, actually, is that we're serving agents. We're not enjoyers. Bhoktanam Jagatapasam. Krishna is the enjoyer, and that's good because that's not what we're meant for. We're meant to give and give. And when we do, we feel happy. And we know that people note this fact that those who go outside themselves to serve others actually become bigger. In the eyes of others, you know, Mother Teresa is a big figure because what, you know, she went outside herself to serve others. So this concept is universal, actually, and it's really true. The less we try to exploit and the more we try to give back, then the more we'll actually become happy and in the eyes of others we'll become big. So we should actually look and see how we're utilizing everything for Krishna's service. And people will feel that. They really feel our consciousness more than anything else. You see this when we meet people for the first time. This kind of preaching that we do a lot of here, where we go out in streets and in front of stores and things, and we meet people for the first time. People, living entities are very subtle. You know, it goes like the mind is subtle, intelligence is more subtle than the mind, and more intelligent, more subtle than the intelligence of the soul. That means the soul can be very perceptive when somebody meets somebody who's Krishna conscious and who wants to do good for them. They feel it right away. They actually sense it. And so the more we're developing our own Krishna consciousness, the people will actually appreciate that we're not just big exploiters like somebody else, but we're living in the world, but we don't have the intention of exploiting.